Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I don't know if anything we saw last night is going to make Aaron Rodgers more happy. I don't know if Atlanta Falcons fans are going to welcome Kyle Pitts with open arms because he doesn't throw the football. But I do know this. We saw something that no one expected to see last night. And I still don't know if that group is happy either. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agumike back with us here on ESPN Radio. What's up, Chinay? How's practice?
Very good. Got a lot of shots up. Got some recovery in. So another day, you know, at the office. Another day, another dollar.
Another day in the grind for Chinay. And listen, Chinay, I feel like we kind of shortchanged you yesterday because we have all this hype around getting ready for the NFL draft. We're heading into it again. Round 2 and 3 start tonight. That I forgot, like, you're the one on this show. We've talked so much about going through my experience being an undrafted free agent coming out of Notre Dame, sitting around and digesting this team this weekend in a different way. Sit with my family, knowing the call was going to come after the weekend, like so many other guys who end up trying to fill out rosters. You lived on the other side of this. You were number one overall pick, and so last night we saw Trevor Lawrence get to experience that moment. So there's most of us that won't live that, Chinay. Take us inside what that was like for you, because I know you've told me a number of times around here about surprised you were by your own status there, but just the moment itself, what's that like for people?
So I had the best draft experience ever. I was selected number one overall at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, the team that had the number one pick, who allowed fans obviously there. So imagine your number one overall going to a franchise that is thrilled to have a number one pick. And I'm literally on the court that I'm about to play on. Look to my left is my sister, who's a number one overall pick, and my parents. And so it was like a fairy tale. It was a dream for me. And I'll say this, when I watched the NFL draft, I was so sentimental, and I loved seeing, first of all, the amazing outfits.
Mm.
The young men were iced all the way out. Saw a lot of great bling. Devontae Smith was the best dressed of the draft, and I loved the pin he had. But one thing that I loved is that we saw different people react to the moment. Like, we got the Mac Jones walk. You know, the walk.
Chinay, that reminded me so much of when Gisele Bündchen at the Olympics was walking across that stadium. Now,
yes.
She did it in a way that looked cool. Mac Jones looked a little more like Vince McMahon walking into the WWE.
Yes,
but
the arms.
Still a big-time moment.
But you know what I saw? He was so ready for his name to be called that he wasn't like strutting or taking his time. He's like, let me get my jersey. Like, I deserve this. And I love it. And of course, the Patriots angle is funny. Devontae Smith, like, just being smooth and cool and seeing the Alabama. Like, I wish after watching that draft that I soaked in the moment emotionally more. Like, to see those young men vulnerable, some even shedding tears, just literally walking and taking the time to look around and be like, wow, this is a moment I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. I wish I had that, because your girl just blacked out. Like, all that sensory overload that happened to me with the Mohegan Sun and all that stuff, I just blacked out. And then my sister had to slap me and was like, oh, go on stage. But excellent NFL draft, very intriguing. And it seems like a lot of the key pieces went to places that really valued them, and that's the most important thing.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And you're right, there were a lot of really like happy fan bases through the course of the first round. I know I joked with the Atlanta Falcons, but you got Kyle Pitts. We talked to Diana Rossini earlier, who said they were looking to trade down in the draft, and a partner didn't materialize. And so your consolation prize is someone we've talked about as maybe a generational, once every 20 years tight end talent there. People are going to be doing all right. The interesting thing, Chinay, that we saw happen as we got towards the middle of the draft was something that we didn't think was ever going to happen. Dave Gettleman going into this draft, the GM for the New York Giants, had people telling him, well, Dave Gettleman doesn't ever trade back. It's just not a thing that happens. And Dave Gettleman went out in press conferences and put on his Sherpa sweater and did the things where he tried to finger wag at all of us and remind us that we were wrong. And then he actually went out and did it, Chinay, because on one side we had the Chicago Bears trading up to go get Justin Fields at 11th overall. He started to fall. I was going to say, where were you on that one, Chinay? Do you think this can be something that saves the jobs of people in Chicago? Because they saw him falling, and they wasted no time. Chicago swapped picks with New York, so they moved up to 11. New York got the 20th overall pick, a fifth-round pick this year, and then a first and a fourth-round pick in 2022. But do you think that was the right move for them?
Great move. not fair, because this is a team that if they didn't slip into the wild card, they probably could have been out of jobs, right? And so having that nice little, oh, we finished the season strong-ish and we have a year left to go, allowed them to be in a position to, also a position in timing where you have so many quarterbacks that are available that maybe that can actually save their job, because that's the position that could literally do the most for them in the interim. So to get Justin Fields, and we've seen Chicago Bear Twitter. Like, everyone's like, stay calm. Something good has actually happened. You know, this is something that could potentially save their jobs. I'm saying Junior for the short term, because if they don't elevate Justin Fields' ceiling, you know, as he plays, and I saw your tweet on QB2. You were wild, boy. You were a wild.
I couldn't help myself.
You were a wild boy yesterday. If Justin Fields does well, yeah, that could save their jobs for the short term. But we know that probably for him to get to the next level, I don't know if there's enough water under the bridge based on the transgressions of the past to get Justin Fields to a point where this franchise actually feels like they're trending completely in the right direction. So for the short term, they got a quarterback that's really good, very talented, and now we'll have a great opportunity to make some impact. That can save them a couple years. For the long term, is this going to be what the franchise needs? Maybe not, because you want that floor that you have with a rookie to be a ceiling that leads to a Super Bowl. And there's been so many things in between that have derailed that process.
And my thought always is, Justin Fields could eventually get to that ceiling. I just wonder, like you said, if it doesn't happen quick enough, it probably isn't going to be with this regime. Probably not going to be with Ryan Pace. Probably not going to be with Matt Nagy. So on the other side of that, the NFC East was fascinating to watch, Janae.
Wild.
Because we had the Giants trade back. And I think, Dave Gettleman, this is a great move. You got a lot of draft capital. You had the Philadelphia Eagles jump in front of you to go get DeVonta Smith. Now, the Giants went down and drafted Kadarius Toney, wide receiver out of Florida at 20 overall, who is one of the most fun players you're going to get to watch in the NFL this upcoming season. He's a video game, but it felt like a weird pick. It felt like a little bit much. But if people are saying, hey, the Giants wanted to potentially draft one of those top flight weapons, you can put coin in your pocket for the future and get a wide receiver, maybe you can justify it. The Eagles, Chinee, is where it gets interesting. And I want to find out from Cliff if this is a good job or a bad job. Because we had the Philadelphia Eagles also involved in a trade. They got the 10th overall pick from the Dallas Cowboys, a rare division trade that we got there. The Cowboys traded back, got the 84th overall pick in the third round, and took Micah Parsons, linebacker out of Penn State, at 12
overall. He had the best moment, by the way. Can we say that? Micah Parsons and his family actually being happy? I love that.
It was. There was pure joy there. There was a lot of emotion with that Micah Parsons pick. Penn State product, so we're already in the right state. But Cliff, now I got to ask you, the Eagles jump up, get DeVonta Smith, make sure he does not fall to the Giants. This is a good John or a bad John?
Smitty! Welcome to Philly! This is a super good John. Fly, Eagles, fly, baby. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Wait, I thought you weren't a part of the fan base.
Stop it. You know you got to go back and forth sometimes with the fan base, but I'm a loyal Eagles fan from day one.
Wow!
DeVonta Smith, I saw you tweeted where to get a cheesesteak. Go to Max's right on Germantown and Area F.
My
wow!
God.
Wow!
This is, I'm gonna say, this is the same Cliff that once during the football season, when the Eagles were really on the ropes, tweeted out something in the neighborhood of "Eagles fans, your team stinks." There was a "why" before our Cliff, and that changes things.
Now today, does that seem like I was excluding myself from the fan base, or is that me voicing my frustration to other Eagles fans?
No, that seems like you're excluding yourself
from
the fan base. Because I also remember you saying, Cliff, that you're a free thinker. But I will say this. Take your moment in the sun.
Let's go.
For to be able to get DeVonta Smith at that position, fantastic. That's a win-win scenario, especially for the Cowboys. Surprising that the NFC East was that much like ELE. You know, everyone love everybody. And everyone got what they needed. Fascinating.
It was amazing to see that, Janae. And I know I heard Sal Palantonio, our great ESPN NFL reporter, on with Mike Greenberg earlier today on ESPN Radio, and he said he believes the Eagles lost the trade. I just can't see it that way, Janae. A third-round pick to go up and get the Heisman Trophy winner from last
year.
I mean, Philadelphia already knows a thing or two about undersized receivers who can do pretty much anything with the ball in their hands. DeSean Jackson just finally left town after one of the more storied Eagles tenures of the modern times. But also, Chiney, I look at what this signals. We heard from Jeffrey Lurie and ownership that reportedly they wanted to go all in on Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. This is a move, because remember, Justin Fields was falling here. There was part of me that wondered if the Eagles were going to go back up to try and get in the fight for him, and they took a receiver which says, no, we're going to go all in. We're going to truly give Jalen Hurts, a guy he knows pretty well, an opportunity to be the one with some weapons that indicate that.
Yeah, and if they did make that move, Junior, I would be a free thinker right there with Cliff if they looked at a quarterback after just doing that same thing to their other quarterback and now that forced him out of town. Like, okay. I would be a free thinker.
Old habits die hard. Now, in addition to all this draft talk, the NBA is also on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday as Jeff Teague and the Bucks host Tyler Johnson and the Nets, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations.
Tyler Johnson, let's go.
Our producer, Shannon, never ever fails. But coming up next, I'll tell you why the Jacksonville Jaguars only get partial credit for the start of the new regime in round one last night. I'll tell you why. Plenty of things next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
That's what I get for trying to be fun and do some dance that Cliff and everyone else are doing in here. I just rip my headphones right out. The whole segment starts off weird now. And I didn't even do the dance right, Jhené.
You know, no one would have known because we weren't showing that on Plus. But now you just expose yourself.
You know what? Like, I want Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio is a place for honesty. And also, we have to say, I exposed myself, meaning I told on myself. Not actually. I don't want to get fired. First of all, we're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamike. Jhené, we're an honest show. That's how we live. We live with our truth and play with the cards up around here.
We do, but like, I hope you nailed the dance because I think you'd be excellent on TikTok.
My God, that is still going to be the last frontier for me right now, Jhené. But if you're into watching stuff on TikTok, the draft show that I was a part of last night with Jason Fitz, Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Ashley Brewer, and Trevor Scales is on TikTok. We were on TikTok last night, so technically I have now become a TikTok dancer because I did twerk something light right at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I saw that. Was that with the third pick in Trey Lance? Because yes. I saw you drop into a great squat. Like, all of your coaches would be impressed. You dropped into a great squat, and you're like, oh, thank goodness I'm wearing, like, you know, good pants because I would have ripped right through them.
Yep. No, we went with jeans tonight, so we are at risk, Jhené. But all that excitement was because the first night of the draft was exciting. We had so much legitimate drama with the quarterback situations, with some trades that happened in the draft. There's only one way we can get to all of it, Jhené. So much like we did in football season, since I spent all last night doing that draft show with everybody, I'm going to tell you why what your favorite team did is actually going to work out for you.
Whoa, please tell me what that is.
Yeah. All right, you don't have to act so startled. What the hell was that?
Mike, tell me why.
All right, Jhené, are you ready here?
All right, here we go. And before we get to the draft, we had to get to the news that almost derailed it, okay? Junior, tell me why Aaron Rodgers must be flying to Colorado.
Jhené, I'll tell you exactly why. Because I said yesterday going into the draft, the Denver Broncos were sitting at ninth, and if Justin Fields fell and they let him get passed, there was something criminal happened. There must be some sort of malpractice. And so when the ninth pick came up and they picked Patrick Surtain, the second out of Alabama, I figured that, all right, they must know something that I don't, Jhené. They must have called up Green Bay with an angry Aaron Rodgers and made them an offer they couldn't refuse that maybe like an NBA trade is just going to go through after we've exchanged the hats already. That's all I can think of, Jhené, because if not, I don't know how Denver decided that Drew Locke as opposed to Justin Fields was going to be their risk for the upcoming season.
Okay, I'm so sorry, but I'm a woman, so I'm going to do this follow-up. Tell me why Shailene Woodley deserves no slander, please.
Oh, yeah, I can say, leave the spouses alone. Like, just because you guys think Shailene Woodley is a new thing in Aaron Rodgers' life and she might not like winter, which, spoiler alert, most of us don't like winter. It's not a fun season. Leave her out of this. Stop making her name trend unless you're going to see some sort of new Divergent movie.
Okay, I'm done. From the OGs now to the rookies. Junior, tell me why the rookie QBs are who we thought they were.
Jhené, I'm so glad that I feel like I'm not crazy now after last night because you saw my shock when Trey Lance went third overall to the 49ers, a 49ers team that had moved heaven and earth resource-wise to get up to that spot. I said, all right, we feel like we know football again. We feel like We saw someone go after upside in that spot with Trey Lance, who had a remarkable one-year season at North Dakota State, played the one game this year, and has a ton of room to grow. He's like 20 years old, for God's sakes. And so we saw the order. Trevor Lawrence at one, Zach Wilson at two, Trey Lance at three. Someone trading up to recognize the commodity of Justin Fields at 11 in the Chicago Bears, and then Mac Jones all the way to 15, Chiney, because we knew Mac Jones wasn't a bad player. He just wasn't the third quarterback in the draft, and it feels like our understanding of football prevailed.
Yes, and especially with Mac Jones, what I really loved is that he fell, but relatively fell to a place that actually was the best place for him. Going from Saban to Belichick. Interesting. Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Janae Ogunmakam, Mike Golick Jr. We're playing Tell Me Why, and I'll sing it this time. Junior, tell me why Justin Fields won't be able to save Pace and Nagy's job.
Yeah, Janae, we talked about this. So the Bears move up to 11, and they trade and mortgage a lot of their future to the New York Giants, a first and a fourth round pick in 2022, in addition to, I think, a fifth this year. And we just see this too often in history, Chiney. I brought up Jeff Fisher when Jared Goff got drafted for the Rams. I brought up Hugh Jackson when Baker Mayfield got to town. Lovie Smith going back to Tampa Bay with Jameis Winston. When you get a rookie quarterback and you break them in case of emergency when things go wrong in that season, the organizations tend to, 9 out of 10 times when you're limping in, decide on the other side, yeah, we like that pick. We're not sure we like you coaching them, and so I don't know if it saves them if the season still is in the middle ground for Chicago.
Let's get these final two in. Tell me why New England proves the draft like time is a flat circle.
I want to take everybody back. February 7th, 2021, Mel Kiper Jr.'s Mach 1.0. I scroll all the way down looking in this draft, and I look at number 15. The New England Patriots select Mac Jones out of the University of Alabama. Today, we rode this unbelievable roller coaster to ultimately get back to the same place that we were on February 7th with Mel Kiper of this year, who looked at this quarterback class and said, yeah, this is about where Mac Jones would fall. And now we see the NFL and their talent evaluators thought the same thing.
My goodness, you people are exhausting. Junior, last but not least, tell me why Jacksonville gets partial credit for night one.
They get partial credit because Trevor Lawrence was going to be the slam dunk at number one, Chiney. Trevor Lawrence was the surefire number one overall pick from basically the time he was born. But then we get down later in the draft, and one pick after the Steelers make Najee Harris the first running back taken in the first round of the draft. The Jacksonville Jaguars make Travis Etienne the second running back taken in the first round. Chiney, Jacksonville had a lot of things wrong with their team. It's a young team. They've got holes. Their offensive line struggled mightily at times last year. The one place they didn't have issues was running back. They beat the game. When we're talking about finding value at different positions, everyone wants to focus on Brady and 199. Jacksonville had a undrafted free agent rookie running back last year, top five in rushing in the NFL. They brought Carlos Hyde over, and now you got Urban Meyer out here talking about Travis Etienne being the third down back. Chiney, it just doesn't scream value to me at a time where you need the most value you can if you're going to patch holes on this ship quick enough to party.
I know we don't have time for unlimited questions, but tell me why Trevor Lawrence, his brother, won the draft.
Oh, my God. So I believe his brother's name is Chase. Am I right? Chase
yes,
Lawrence?
Chase Lawrence.
Chase Lawrence out here dripping with every ounce of the swagoo with the, I believe, leopard print bomber jacket, which, first off, shout out to Bomber Nation. A reminder that no matter your age, no matter your race, no matter your size or shape, bombers can save
you. Can find that on
you.
Adidas, by the way, y'all.
He's not repped by Darius Rucker.
He is not repped. As Travis reminded us earlier, if any of you missed it, Darius Rucker, in charge of the management group, one of the people that helps own the management group that reps Trevor Lawrence. That's why he was at Clemson's star quarterbacks party, even though he's a South Carolina fan. And Travis just once again coming in and trying to ruin the show as best we can. But coming up next, I am going to give you, bar none, the best sound you will hear all day. The mouth of the South is back, and he has got words for one of the NFL's all-time greats. We'll get to that next after this word from Indeed.
Do you need to hire people fast? Pretty much like the NFL did last night during the draft, huh? Indeed can help you beat the clock with powerful hiring tools like Instant Match. Just sponsor a job and Indeed will send you a list of resumes from Indeed's database on the spot. They also have 135 skills tests for things like computer proficiency, or customer service talent so that you can find the right candidates faster. Did you know that they hire 10 hires are made every minute on Indeed? Just goes to show you that when you need people for work, Indeed works. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Apparently, we have the funniest sound in the entire world, per my guys. Notice. It involves, apparently, the Patriots. I cannot wait for this. We'll listen to that right after this on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Not where you get picked, but who's doing the picking can still get judged. Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're taking you up to our coverage of the NFL Draft on ESPN Radio here, starting at 6 o'clock Eastern with Kevin Negani and L. Duncan, Mike Golic Jr., Chinne Agumake. What the hell's going on over here?
Nothing. It's cultural. Between myself and Cliff and the song we're playing, Ice Me Out, because we saw a lot of great ice yesterday during the draft, which I'm like, man, these guys get down. They may not be getting paid in college, but they get paid right when they get ready for the draft. Let me tell you this.
Man, when you start signing, so this is always the wild part for me, Chanae, because, and I'm sure you know this, so many agencies, when you sign with an agent, will start floating you cash, floating you money so that you've got something to spend while you're getting ready for the upcoming draft. But the one thing that no one really talks about, I've seen people tweet about it, people that are card collectors, is when you sign those trading card deals, and I've seen dudes, I'm talking thousands of these, that you're signing one after another. The price some of these dudes get, the first rounders, is insane for just sitting there and signing your name over and over. Yeah, you might get a little carpal tunnel, but you are getting dumb paid off just signing your signature. It is the ultimate reminder that the NCAA doesn't own you anymore. They can't do anything now, and man, life is good.
No, it really is. And Junior, I just want to bring up, I don't know if you mentioned it earlier because your girl was at practice, but I'd like to say this. We're getting closer and closer to LeBron James being back. So in the middle of the NFL draft, as we get those picks selected, it's exciting. We could see this weekend the King return to the court as well. And he's been wearing great bling on the sidelines too. It's just unfair. Like when they're not playing, their bling just looks great, and they're just busting out different versions of it. Yeah, LeBron James, yeah, he does it well.
It's a full-blown fashion show over there, Chanae. Like, I'm legitimately looking over at him, and like when him and AD were on the sideline to see what shoes they were wearing.
Yes.
LeBron's wedding ring looks like it's worth more than my house.
These are facts, and imagine that championship ring, what that thing was worth.
Ooh,
you know,
my God. So, yeah, I can say we're getting very close. I saw that Woj bomb earlier today that we're finally on the cusp. The most amount of time LeBron James has missed in his career. Mm-hmm. I think we're up around 20 games now for LeBron being out for the Lakers. So, finally getting back, as we've seen, they've been on a bit of a slide, even as Anthony Davis has come back, trying to get things
out for
right.
tonight, but could potentially come soon.
There we go. All right, so out for tonight. Might see LeBron James this weekend as they look to try and test that ankle down the stretch of the NFL season. Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chanae Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, Chanae, I could sit here and give you a list of some of my favorite picks from last night. I could tell you that I really liked Rashawn Slater falling the Northwestern tackle down to the Los Angeles Chargers that were sitting there in need of protection. What a great moment for him. What some people thought was the best tackle in the draft, sliding all the way down there. I could tell you about head scratchers. I couldn't believe the Las Vegas Raiders jumped up and drafted Alex Leatherwood, tackle out of Alabama, in the first round. Seemed like a guy you could have gotten at a much later point. But, Chanae, I want to ignore all that right now. Because coming into the segment, we played the sound of Mac Jones talking about it's not where you get picked, it's who, and it's what you do after that. Mac Jones, quarterback out of Alabama, got picked by the New England Patriots. And most of the rest of us, Chanae, and I'm sure you're right in this boat, we looked at that and said, my God, the Patriots did it again. They didn't have to move up like we all thought to go swing for a quarterback. They got to sit and just let a guy all along that, again, Mel Kiper in Mock Draft 1.0 on February 7th of this year had Mac Jones going 15 overall to the Patriots. Someone does not share our belief in Mac Jones, really not even him, doesn't share our belief in Bill Belichick. Listen to Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show on the SEC Network. He joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and asked the question of, why are we giving Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt?
I'm also a little concerned about this rather lazy, Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. Really? Have you guys watched the New England Patriots in the last couple of years? Tom Brady knows what he's doing. I'm not sure Bill Belichick does. He's made some dubious coaching hires, starting with his son. and he's made some, I think, disastrous draft choices. So I like Mac Jones a lot. I know I'm burying the lead here. I think he's a very good quarterback. Will he be a great NFL quarterback? I have no earthly idea. But don't confuse the fact that just because Bill Belichick drafts you and he's never drafted a quarterback before, well, big deal. I mean, why did he need to draft a quarterback in the first round before, that Mac Jones is automatically going to be the next Peyton Manning?
Today, I don't know what Bill Belichick did to Paul Feinbaum, but that wasn't even catching a stray. He was directly in the sights.
Yo, I don't know if you could see my face the whole time I was listening to that. And I know that was Keyshawn and J. Will going like, ooh, like dodging, like, ooh, snap. I was like, is that for real, for real? Because, like, okay, in fairness, yeah, the Patriots have struggled as of late. That is part of why, you know, Tom Brady decided to head to Tampa Bay. That makes sense. But to not think that Bill Belichick had enough of a role in creating the system in which Tom Brady was successful, this has to be like opposite today from what I just heard you hear.
I truly don't know where this came from today. Like, the last thing on earth when I laid my head down on a pillow last night after the draft that I thought was, man, you know what? We finally saw Bill Belichick change it up. He got lazy. He acted outside of himself. And the Patriots clearly on the decline. Like, who in this offseason, where the Patriots went out and spent more and got more free agents than they had since 2001, did we think, yeah, Belichick's asleep at the wheel now. He's ready to turn it south.
Yeah, that's not happening, especially with what we all watched this past season with who won the Super Bowl. So, like, he's not doing that. He actually turned it all the way up. Foot is on the gas, 0-100. That's what Bill did at the age of 68, 69 recently.
Nice.
So, like, yeah.
I mean, Bill Belichick. Chinay went 7-9 last year. Like, we were talking about him picking at 15, went 7-9 last year with more COVID opt-outs than he knew what to do with Cam Newton coming over at the end of his career arc on a one-year deal in a COVID year.
Thank you.
That being said, I love you, Paul. Like, this is Chinay, this is how you do it. This is why Paul Feinbaum is one of the best to ever do it. And we're sitting here just trying to figure out how to get to his level of greatness, because that was art on display right there. And if you can't appreciate that, if you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. And I don't know if I can help you.
Steady, 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 steady. Stir the pot. Steady, 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 steady. Yep. Stir the pot.
Just at the right time in there, Paul Feinbaum. That is why he will always be a friend of the show. Paul Feinbaum essentially calling Bill Belichick lazy on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Unbelievable.
Get off my lawn energy. Here for it.
It is big time get off my lawn energy. And sometimes you need that. But coming up next, Chinay, sometimes you also need a wholesome moment too. And last night the draft gave it to us in droves, including one player whose pick in the first round surprised me, but the response we saw from him didn't surprise me for a second. We'll get to that next. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Reminder, we're wrapping up here at 6 o'clock Eastern. We're taking you up to our coverage of the 2021 NFL Draft, night number two, rounds 2 and 3 here on ESPN Radio. Kevin Negandhi, L. Duncan, Mike Tannenbaum, Bart Scott, and Ian Fitzsimmons all going to do a great job like they did on night one. Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike, guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Our thanks to Diana Rossini, our ESPN NFL reporter, as well as Bart Scott, former NFL linebacker, co-host of Bart and Han that you heard on the show. If you missed any of it, check out the podcast. It's great stuff. You can also hear Paul Feinbaum just absolutely eviscerate Bill Belichick for reasons I still can't figure out, Chinay.
Oh, man, that was choosing violence to the 10th degree.
It was... I'm not going to lie. It was
beautiful, though.
Beautiful was the exact word I was going for. Like, sometimes you just got to let an artist paint in their preferred medium. And Paul Feinbaum sometimes has to do that in sending out very not-so-subtle shade.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate that about him.
Here for it.
We also appreciate the energy that went into last night's draft. You can check out me, Jason Fitz, Trevor Scales, Ashley Brewer, Field Yates, and Matthew Berry covering the draft on all our digital properties, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, TikTok, all the above. It's going to be great. I'm going to drink a lot of coffee so that we can rock and roll with the same energy tonight. Let's go. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chinay and Golic Jr.
Now, Chinay, keeping that same energy, which is brought to you by Napa, whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. Janae, last night we had a number of Penn State players chosen. Micah Parsons, linebacker out of Penn State, chosen by the Dallas Cowboys. And Jason Owe, defensive end out of Penn State, who was a huge combine freak. And this year, combine was the pro day, ran well, looks the part. And they decided to pick him in the first round. And after that, he made a decision. The newly minted Ravens linebacker said that he is going to be called by his true first name now, Odafe Owe, instead of Jason. He said, I don't care anymore. You're going to have to learn how to pronounce it now, Janae. That is the energy we're looking for.
First of all, he got to be Nigerian, okay? Right? And one thing I love about this is, look, he said, I'm going to give you something easy while y'all have to refer to me. But once I make it to the pros, and this is real, real, you're going to say my full name. And in that spirit, from now on until the end of the show, Chinenye is my name. What's my name, Junior?
Chinenye N'Golo Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app at Sirius XM Channel 80. As we are keeping that full energy right now, his name is Odafe, and he is of Nigerian descent. We have confirmed that, Chinenye.
That was easy for me to know.
Chinenye, excuse me.
Thank you.
Keeping that same energy, Chinenye. We have newly minted Steelers running back Najee Harris, and this was one of those wholesome moments from last night. We talked so much about the energy of a lot of these draft prospects really enjoying their moment. Micah Parsons was one who ran up and Roger Goodell had to keep him from falling. We saw guys crying. We saw Jalen Waddle walk out of the room. Apparently he was heading to a walk-off without hugging anyone. Say,
his family, he had to have a moment before because he just was like, forget it, y'all. I'm in the pros.
Deuces, I'm rich now. Hide the money, y'all. But, Janae, keeping that same energy, Steelers running back Najee Harris hosted a draft party at the homeless shelter where he used to live. Najee Harris, who, if you've been following his Alabama career, you've seen not only on the field what a beast he is, but off the field, what a tremendous young man he seems to be. We've heard him very eloquently talk at certain times, wax poetic about Megan Rapinoe and the women of the U.S. women's national team that inspired him so much. And this seems to be just another checkmark reminding us of who the Steelers got as a person in their draft pick.
Yeah, that was just, it just is going to be one of those stories that will keep being told, you know, him using his platform for good. We're getting enough of that already, and it's amazing to see that at such a young age. And then now it's going to be the pros, and he's going to have his own platform, and so it's going to continue to share. So, like, big fan of Najee.
Yeah, as much as I maybe thought that pick could have gone towards a resource the Steelers needed more, like offensive line or, you know, work on defense, a running back in the first round, not something I totally endorse. But yeah. I love Najee. He's an unbelievable player.
Exception.
I think he was my favorite running back in the coming draft class. So we'll let it slide this time.
Thank you. Yes.
Chinenye N'Golo Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Keeping that same energy. Rockets Kevin Porter Jr., fresh off of getting fined $50,000 for the COVID vaccine or the COVID virus protocol stemming from a strip club visit, decides to drop 1 point for every band they find him. Janae, 50 points for Kevin Porter Jr. in his return. How are them apples?
Look, that was very much James Harden brand, right? Like,
yes,
in the same establishment and then drop it a 50 piece. Maybe it was the fine that motivated, knowing that, oh my gosh, I have, and let me go make this money up. But for a team where we just saw John Wall have to exit stage left with a hamstring, which I'm glad he did that because he shouldn't have to be out there as someone who's dealt with injuries. Kevin Porter Jr., a baller, a certified baller. And I think this is actually a bright spot for the Houston Rockets. Granted, he needs to handle his business, please, overall.
Yeah, you don't need to give away that fine money to go out here and drop 50 points. You can do it and keep that money in your pocket.
Yep.
Finally, though, keeping that same energy, we brought this up when we had him on the show last week, but now it is time.
Zaddy.
With the 37th overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to select someone, and the person handing that card in and reading that card will be none other than Mike Golic Sr., my dad, former Philadelphia Eagles defensive lineman.
Cannot wait.
Going to be very
ready, Junior?
Oh, he's ready for it, Janae.
Hey.
He is big ready. He has had at least one tall beer leading up to this, so he is going to go up there and have the takes ready for everybody.
I'd expect
so watch
less.
Out for Dad tonight. Watch out here. Stick here next on ESPN Radio. L. Duncan, Kevin DeGondi, and the crew taking over for the draft.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.